All right, welcome back to episode 3 of Kids Camp Plus. And I am back again. My name's Craig King. I'm the host, I guess that's what I am. I talk on the microphone and ask some questions. I'm Craig. I'm the guy that's leading worship for your kids this week. And we have Dr. Kathy Cook that's back with us. She has been on the other two episodes. She is president, founder of Celebrate Kids. Has just been an incredible gift to our church, and I know to thousands of other people and parents as they raise their kids. And I just wanted to stop, Kathy, I want to tell the listener that they can find all the resources that we talk about on your website. So that's celebratekids.com. Okay, I just want to make sure, .com. Celebratekids.com. Some great resources there. And so she has been an integral part of our church in leading us in some things that have been just life-giving for our staff. And so we're very kindred spirits with Dr. Kathy Cook. And so welcome back, Kathy. Glad you're here.
Oh, so thrilled to be a part of it. I'm excited and praying that moms and dads have really benefited from what you've chosen to do. I love that we're speaking to them and not just the kids being fed this week.
That's right. That's right. Joining us today is Joe and Cindy Russo. Joe is our family pastor.
Marriage and couples. That's what I am.
Okay. Marriage and couples.
Yeah.
And Cindy, his wife, is with us. And I have to stop and say real quick, Joe and Cindy, they've got an incredible story of how they ended up here in Midland. But how long ago was the wedding? 2 weeks ago?
It'll be 3 weeks tomorrow. Saturday, yeah.
Three weeks ago, I literally attended the wedding of their youngest daughter. It was literally the best wedding I've ever been to. And so I've been in ministry for a lot of years, and I sat outside. The wind was blowing in West Texas, surrounded by trees. I know it's West Texas. It's surrounded by trees. But more than that, as I walked onto those grounds, you could sense, you could almost feel the joy. Yeah. Like as you read about Jesus doing his first miracle, you see this joyful occasion, and you almost put yourself there to go, I want to be a part of one of those.
Yeah, it was great.
I was a part of one of those, and it was incredible. We were with friends from our church. You were with family, and we laughed, and we danced, and we cried, and we ate, and we drank, and it was just, it was merry. So can you even say that?
Yeah.
And so it was just incredible. And so what I love about this podcast is that right off of that, we get to celebrate kind of the best of you guys sitting in a season that's beautiful. Mm. But what you're going to tell these listeners, these parents of these young kids that are going, is there an end? Like, tell me there's light at some kind of tunnel, please.
It's not a train.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you just were talking about the crying every night, your fourth grade math.
Yeah. Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And yeah. Both of us cried.
Yeah, so these parents,
my daughter and I,
these parents are experiencing that right now, and I hope that hearing us talk about some of these things will bring them great encouragement. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm going to let you tell your story in just a minute, but I want to just first tell the parents kind of what your kids are hearing tonight. So tonight, Luke is talking about that your kid, your student, has subscribers. And so what this means on YouTube, you have people that actually follow your content, right? So you see where we're going with this. You have people that actually are listening and want to hear what you have to say. So first night was you're loved, you're fully known, you're loved. The second night was you have a unique design. We talked about here on this podcast that parents, you have been given unique children, and those unique children have been designed on purpose, with a purpose. We talked about letting that dream die. Sometimes we as parents have this idea of what parenthood should be and the kids that we should have, and that many of us have to mourn that child that we thought we would have, right, and raise the ones, which with Joe and Aaron eloquently said, the ones that are 10 times better than they could have ever imagined. Right. It's such a cool story. And so go back, if you haven't listened to this, the second episode, just an incredible, incredible episode. But tonight, your child's being challenged that they have something to say. And not only do they have something to say, but they have people that are listening. So we inside the church would say then they have a mission, right? They have a mission. You've got a mission. You've got a story to tell. And so what I want to tell these parents tonight through this podcast is that you too have a mission.
You play a part.
Yeah. Mom and Dad, you have a part in all this. Matter of fact, Psalm 127:4 says, like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior are children of one's youth. And so I want to use that illustration kind of tonight as we discuss that we carry around this bow, and these children are these beautiful arrows that we're shooting somewhere. We're aiming as parents, and it's frustrating sometimes to get the bow right, but we are aiming. And so we're going to talk a lot about tonight where we're aiming these arrows. So, Joe and Cindy, I'm going to start with you. I want to, again, back up from the beautiful wedding that we just experienced. And I want you to give the listener some context about your family from early on to high school teenage years. Oh. Right? Right? To where you guys are now and where you've arrived, and maybe some nuggets of what you've learned along the way. So Joe, you and I talked about a few things today, and so maybe just unpack some of that for the listener.
Okay. You have a great radio voice, by the way, Craig.
Oh, no, I was saying the same thing for you.
I was about to say radio face, but I decided not to say that.
I do have face for radio.
Yeah, so Cindy and I have been together for 37 years. We've been married for 36 years. She was my cousin's best friend, and that's how we met way back when. And, you know, my family is a divorce train wreck kind of a family. Her family's divorced, but not really a train wreck. And so we both brought in stuff into our relationship. And one of the things we brought in was not really knowing how to do this husband and wife or parenting thing really well, or at all. I didn't know how to do it at all. At least she had a vision of what it looked like growing up. And, but shortly after we were married, we got plugged into a local church that her aunt and uncle went to in upstate New York, and we stayed there for 21 years. And we worked there, and I trained there and was called there and ordained there, and we raised our family there and all that until God brought us in through a crazy story here to Midland. And but while we were doing all that, I mean, I don't think we you know, we're just in love and we started having kids and didn't know what that all meant. And yeah, we just had a beautiful event. We're in a beautiful place in our life right now. But like you had said, it wasn't always beautiful. I mean, it's just you had one child and then you go to one income from two and then two and three. And we have four children. If I didn't already say that, we have six grandchildren right now. And there were, as you said, some really difficult times that you wondered if we were going to make it through. And I mean, it's hard for me to not get emotional, but we were dancing at the wedding, actually, and you looked at me and you said, "How did we get all this?"
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the truth. I did say that because as you look when. Like you had said, you know, at the wedding of Chris's, you know, it was so special. But, you know, with four children and ministry and just life, it hasn't always been ideal and perfect. And so, yeah, certainly there's ups and downs and challenges. And,
yeah, I mean, I think we started out with, because we, neither one of us grew up in a Christian home, once we really, met Jesus and started walking with him, that he was the focus of our whole life. And so as you and I were saying earlier, we realized way back when somehow that the main goal of us being parents was to for our kids to love and serve God. That was really our main thing that we wanted more than anything else. And As we walk through, I'm trying to think. I mean, actually, two of our children had disabilities. You know, Jacob, as you know, was born with spina bifida, and that was on a heart. He was on a heart monitor for the first 18 months and two surgeries, And then Carissa, the one that just got married, was born with her arm had an injury when she was born. It didn't move for 3 months. And so those were things that were added just to the normal deal of being parents. And again, starting ministry, I was a youth minister for almost 20 years in New York. And probably one of the good things about that was that my boys grew up in all of that. And yeah, I know we're bouncing all over the place. I know I probably should be trying to go stage by stage. But Cindy's just been a fantastic mom. And we have somehow, through all this, figured out how to continue to stay in love with each other and love with God, and just try to, as you talked about, point our kids towards Him. Mm-hmm. And somehow, again, I there's so much wisdom that we learned that I didn't even realize at the time about that's really the most important thing, because they could be anything they want as long as their foundation is on Him. And that's the most important piece. And, I was talking to you earlier about being a youth pastor. You know, for years, when the kids would graduate and they weren't my kids and they were saying, oh, I'm going to go be a pharmacist, or I'm going to go be a doctor, or I'm going to go be an engineer. We're like, whatever, because who's the kids that are going to Bible college? Those are the ones that really we thought, oh, that was the important thing. And then as time has gone on, I'm like, you doofus. You know, it's really about God has made so many different people with so many different callings. And what's greater than raising up children to be who God made them to be out in the midst of the world in which we live, you know?
I think that sometimes even as parents, you know, like what you were just sharing about how you were thinking way back then, we as parents put our kids in a box, and we don't allow God to really take control of our children. And as parents, we're supposed to take control. But really, I feel like for us, certainly we got plugged into a great church and we walked with the Lord. And but for us, you know, I think that gradually we really did trust our kids with God. And I really think that's so much bigger than we really realize. And now we are here 36 years later. we see the fruit of allowing God to allowing us to trust God with our children.
That's so wise. And as I heard you talk, I was just reminded, and I think maybe the parents that are in the middle of it, what they need to hear more than anything would just be this idea that all these small steps of obedience one day, as you hold each other at a wedding, have a payoff.
They all matter.
Yeah, God sees all that, and He honors you doing those things that it feels like this isn't going to matter. Nobody sees it. No one cares. The kids certainly don't care at that point in time. You know, you're just trying to do the right thing. But, yeah, they do all add up. But isn't that what all our walk with Jesus is all about anyway, even in our own lives?
Right.
It's this we do. This thing over here, not sure it matters. This thing over here, not sure it matters. But as we get further down the road, we're like, oh, yes, it did.
Right.
Oh, yes, that was worth something, and this was worth something.
Right. Craig, if you don't mind, I'd love to interject a thought. I love this conversation. And I'm just like, amen, amen to everything both of you are saying. If you listen to the first podcast, you might remember that Addie mentioned that the rule that Addie and Craig have in their home is that if you come over, your cell phone goes in a basket or goes in the kitchen. And the kids are allowed to go look at it and check if they need to, but they really don't want kids on their phone. And if I remember correctly, Craig, there are some parents who don't like that rule because they want to be able to get instantly in touch with their kids. The problem with that is that they're not trusting God.
Yeah.
And we need to show our children from the time that they are fourth and fifth graders that we are raising them up well, for righteousness. We trust you to remember family values. We trust you to remember what is good and what is evil. And we're going to trust that you're going to remember God is your protector and your shield and your everything. And he's not watching like the bad guy. I mean, you can say that, but it's so much more than that.
Right.
And we need to trust God to take care of our children. And we need to trust our children to know the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And God is saying, whoa, don't say that. God is saying, don't take another cookie. And so I just wanted to, Craig, come back to that first, because that really alarms me when parents do not let their children know, I trust you. But more importantly, I trust God with you. And I don't always need to be there. That back in the days, we didn't have cell phones. You let the kids go out.
I was 40 before I got my first cell phone.
Yeah. And so today's parents with these phones are using it as an attachment that's not healthy. It's not good. Does that make sense? That
makes total sense. Yeah. What do you, I'm going to ask a question off the reservation here. What would you think the line, where's the line between control and trust? Because right, that pendulum, if it swings far too far on under the control side, we have to control everything.
Well,
we
create mistrust then.
We know where that leads, right? It leads to rebellious children. But the other side is we let them do, and again, first podcast, boundaries. Help a parent. Help a parent understand, maybe Kathy, where that line may be a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great question, a hard question, and I agree with what Joe just said. I think the opposite of trust is control. And so first of all, you're not in control. If you're a Christ follower, you're just not in control.
We need to stop right now.
Okay, I yield myself. Especially if Jesus has become your Lord. You know, he didn't go to the cross to be just your Savior. He really wants to be the Lord of your thoughts, your feelings, your everything, your decisions. So give it up. You don't have control. So let's pray and let's teach. Let's correct. Let's model. Let's live with. Discipleship means to walk with. So let's walk with our children toward who we want them to be, and not sit back and tell them and yell at them when they don't. So I think it's a healthy attitude. That's my gut. Cindy or Joe, you guys are the parents.
There has to be a mutual respect, I think, right? Even though they're your children, they're still human beings. So you have to start with this, building this respect back and forth, even when they're little, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking back to, you know, the age of fourth and fifth grade, and I just think of Josh and Jake when they were younger. You know, one of the things that I really feel is really important in families as far as raising children is that you kind of do family. Obviously, you want to reach out to everybody, but you do want to have a core families and their friends. And I remember that back in New York, they had families that we trusted and that we had the same values and hopes and desires. And so for us, I think that helped us be able to trust our boys at that age and then be able to give them opportunity to make some decisions where we would, you know, that they would have to make the right decision, and that built the trust.
Yeah, and as you walk in that relationship and you build that trust, it makes it easier for them to be open and honest. Yep. And you have this relationship that goes back and forth. Because when I remember when Josh and Jake, when they weren't in Christian school anymore and they went to the public high school, that was a new group of friends. But we had this relationship where we trusted each other. We trusted them as much as we could. And Kathy, like you said, right? We're not in control anyway. I remember a time Josh he was riding his bike and he had a backpack, and it was night and he was coming home and he was riding through the town, and the policeman pulled him over because the policeman was sure that he had a six pack of beer in the back of his backpack there. Wow. And he's like, well, sir, you can take a look at it. And what he had was a six pack of Yoo-Hoo. Yep. And it was just one of those beautiful things. It's like, here's this kid and he's got Yoo-Hoo in his bag and he could have something else. And it was just those things add up, right?
Yep,
you
do.
If you do the right things with the right heart and you build a good relationship all through when they're little, it matters. Because that builds into the relationship as they get older.
That's so good. Experience talking.
So Craig, let me pick up on something real quick.
Please.
Kids tell me all the time, you know, I interview children, preteens, and teens when I write books, et cetera. And kids tell me all the time, my parents should have listened to me when I was little if they want me to talk to them today.
Yeah.
If they wanted me to talk to them today, they should have listened when I was little. And they should have talked to me about important stuff when I was little if they now expect me to listen to them. So these, I'm so delighted, Craig, that we're talking to parents of young children, because these are valuable moments that create relationship and create trust and create authority.
Yeah. And it's not too late to start. If you've met, you know, if you haven't always, you know, God is always teaching us, right? And it's never too late with God if we're still breathing. And so we should have that attitude with our own children. Right. It's never too late to start to have that relationship, to be more open with our kids and give them opportunity to trust them.
Right.
That's a win for them.
Kylie touched on that the first episode, just that piece of for the parent out there that goes, well, I already have an adult child, or there's already one, you know, that's in high school and I want them to trust me. And Kylie really explored this idea of being vulnerable with our kids, just to say, hey guys, I just haven't done this right.
Yeah.
We haven't done this right as parents. And so would you forgive us? Could we try something new?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we did this right, which it looks like we did okay, it was truly through God helping us, because we really didn't know. And my experience growing up, really, I came into being a parent as like, I'm just going to try to do everything opposite, right, so to speak. That's the way I grew up, and so I don't want that. Man, I just had one of those great thoughts that went in and went out of my mind, and hopefully it'll come right back.
Well, that's a great – I'm just going to say to you, Joe, that's how God – that's grace. That's God's grace on us. Mm. God's grace on us personally, and then God's grace on us for our families and our children. And that's the kind of grace we really do need to give our children, like to try to be encouraged. Really, it is going to be okay. If you really walk with God and walk with others as parents that are trying – God is, he is going to get us through this. He does get us through this.
Even the seasons when we all have those seasons where your kids don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And you turn out to be the enemy for a little while and you can't figure out, and for whatever reason. But even when that happens, if you continue to, I had to learn how to love unconditionally because I didn't grow up that way.
Yeah.
And so I had to learn how to separate the person of my child from their behavior.
Yes.
And that was a huge thing for me. It took me a while to figure that out. God really helped me, took me through my own journey to figure that out. But that made all the difference in the world when it was really, really difficult. We didn't know where it was going to go. But where we landed was, we're going to love this child. And because we know somewhere down the road, there's going to be a time when they're going to want to come back and think more correctly and all that kind of stuff. And that's exactly what happened. And today we have this beautiful relationship. I mean, we have a great relationship with all our kids, actually, now. But it wasn't there, you know, there was those times. And I still haven't thought about that thing.
It'll come back around. Yeah. You'll wake up in the middle of the night and be like, oh, I was going to say that. Now, I think even for me, I'm a parent that is right in the middle of it. But to hear you say, as a parent, to hear you say, I had to come to a point where I had to separate their action from who they were, was life-giving to me in your office. By the Holy Spirit, I pray that the listener is hearing that for the first time too. Because they're just so overwhelmed by, they can't see the difference between who their child is and how they act or decisions they make.
And I got that because God literally spoke to me and said, Joe, that's what I did with you, right? When you were being this way, when you didn't know me, when you didn't want to know me, you didn't want to talk to me, none of that stuff, I was still loving you. Mm. And that pierced me in my heart. It really did.
Mm. I think the key for some of this is for the parents who are listening to be thinking in practical terms, the next time my child's choices anger me, the next time my child's behavior disappoints me, how can I respond so that unconditional love is felt, known, observed by the child? So we don't have time tonight, but in my newest book, I talk about being consistent. It's valuable as a parent and a grandparent to be consistent. This is wrong. This is right. These are the family values. These are the rules. And every once in a while, to surprise them with grace and mercy. To every once in a while, recognize a bad day and a bad kid are two very different things.
That's good.
Because how many of us have bad days?
Normally
we might be kind or patient or other-centered. And then there's days when we're not and something has happened. And I praise God for people who welcome me in and love me in those moments. So for us to separate that out, and because the kids will say to me, they'll say, well, no, they're supposed to love me all the time. There's supposed to be nothing I can do that makes them love me more. And there's supposed to be nothing I can do that would make them love me less.
Yep.
But Dr. Kathy, it doesn't feel that way.
That's right.
And so that's an important thing. Mm-hmm. Craig, you can unpack that there at the church someday.
For sure. But I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do his work with that truth. I think it's just incredible. So, Kathy, I want to come back to you in one of your important topics that you discuss in some of your teaching and your lecturing is this idea of who are you following? And so as we talk about parents, many of our conversations always kind of come back to our children. But I really want to stay on us as parents, because we can, as we really are encouraging the parents to aim well. We touched on it a little bit in yesterday's podcast, but it's the idea of the parent has to be healthy. You know, in Joe and Cindy's story, you know, their walk with Jesus wasn't always perfect, but it was consistent. That was probably something that, it was the one consistent in parenting and marriage. It's been the consistency. And so I saw that topic on your website, and I just thought that fit perfect here, this idea of that we can challenge the parents about who are they following, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we could immediately go to the kids, and we could say that it matters who you're following because your children follow you. But I love, Craig, this perspective that it really, you're a separate, important, significant individual, even if you weren't a parent. You were created in the image of God on purpose, with purpose. He didn't have to make you. He didn't have to make you you. So you're a beautiful, important, significant human being just because you are breathing. And so, it matters who you're following. You know, what's your mission? What's your purpose? What's your life? Who do you want to be? What do you want to do? How do you want to leave the world a better place? I believe that we become like the people we follow. I tell young people all the time, show me your friends and I will show you your future. And I imagine, without knowing more of Joe's story, I love the vulnerable testimony, Joe and Cindy as well, that even though you weren't raised all that well, you can raise people well, because it's not just the role model. You know, you were able to break away from that, I think partly because you were in a good church surrounded by really good people. And even though you maybe didn't look at all the people in your church as, you know, maybe you didn't always listen, I'm going to be a dad someday, I really need to watch what they're doing. You picked it up because you chose church. Hello. Sure. And you chose to hang with healthy people. And that matters, because who we become matters to the glory of God. When he created us, he had a vision for our lives. Mm-hmm. When he knit you together, he knew what he was doing. And it would be tragic for us to let the distractions of life distract us from that path that he's intended for us to be on. And it would be tragic for the people. And you know what, you guys? It's not just actual literal people that we, you know, hang with. It's the lyrics on the CDs, or not the CDs, the lyrics on Spotify. You know,
it's a CD.
I still use CDs.
No, just kidding.
So do we.
I'm old. I'm very old. But the movies we watch, the shows we watch, the games we play. So, sure. You know, Craig, who are you following? Could also be a what are you following? And because, is that really your passion, or have you been distracted and deceived and thinking this is what's going to give me happiness? As we talked about at the first podcast, should not be your value. The scripture is real clear. I love 1 John 3:7. 1 John 3:7 says, do not let anyone lead you astray. Hmm. And my perfect example, Craig, is I can be in a good mood. I can be thinking pretty good about myself. And I get in the wrong line at the grocery store. And the person in front of me is complaining. And the person behind me is complaining. And before I know it, guess what's coming out of my mouth?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm complaining too.
Yep.
About the slow clerk or the crying baby or whatever. Exodus 23:2, and you can look, check out the context. Exodus 23:2, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. And then, you know, a lot of you might know Proverbs 27:17, which says, as iron sharpens iron, so when one man sharpens another. I mean, the Bible, people say to me, you know, Kathy, I wish my kids came with an instruction manual. Like, they do. It's called the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it doesn't have necessarily, it is practical. And so you matter. So who are you listening to? And one of the ways I love to say it is, you know, in the middle of the night, when you have a problem to solve or a decision to make, who do you think to talk to? And I'm not saying you call them at 4 a.m, but who are you thinking of in that moment? Maybe it's the middle of the day and you're working on an issue. You're angry about something. You're confused about something. You're trying to better a situation. Who do you think to talk to? Those are the people, whether you've known it or not, are the people you're following. And why? You know, maybe they're in a life group with you, praise God. Maybe they teach your children in Sunday school, and praise God, because you figured out that they love you and they love your whole family. Maybe it's a pastor or a counselor or whatever, but man, it just matters so much. And you know, Craig, the question, who are you following? The people will change through life circumstances. Although I have many people I have followed for many years. And I don't think that'll ever change. They are my rock solid, firm foundation sheep with me. They're not Jesus, but man, they're here with me. Yeah. They're part of the flock. And I love that. But the primary person, of course, is Jesus.
Right.
And what's really fun is when I do this message, I've actually done it to the high school kids at Stonegate many, many years ago. But when I do this little exercise as a message, I ask people in the context of the question, who are you following? I have them list a group of people. And then I ask them, how many of you thought to list Jesus? Who are you following? How many of you listed God? And I've had people say, well, he was just assumed. Well, no, you don't assume on God. That's just not wise.
Right.
And no, you know, Jesus says, come follow me.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Why does he use the word follow? He doesn't say, you know, come be with me or come stand beside me or come lead me. No, come follow me.
Come do what I do. He doesn't say that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a lot of scripture, you know, lead me, show me, guide me, teach me. Man, search me, O God. Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. And it doesn't say, and punish me accordingly. Oh, praise God. You know, see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me
right
in the way everlasting.
Yeah.
He wants to be our leader. And you know what? It's more than sitting in church on a Sunday. And I say that with a lot of respect. We're busy. We're overwhelmed. You know, you might listen to a lot of great music. You might read a devotional every morning. Praise God that you do that. But it's more than that. It's leaning into Jesus and listening for his voice. If I could share one more verse, Craig.
Sure.
Or it's three verses in a chunk. I think maybe this is something that will affect you through the Holy Spirit as it affected me when I first saw it. John 1:35-38 is little verses I'm going to read to you. And this is a passage where John is there. So John the Baptizer is there. I think it's John the Baptizer. And so the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And see, that's what's supposed to happen, is we're supposed to have disciples. We're supposed to have people who follow us. That's why we better be careful who we're following, because they're going to become like the people we're following, right? Because we become like the people we hang out with. So here's Jesus. John says, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, can you guys picture that? Here's John with two of his disciples. And over there, he sees Jesus. And he says, look, the Lamb of God. And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. that is what is supposed to happen. And Cindy and Joe, praise God, because that's what's happened in your family. And you couldn't control that and make them do that and whip them into shape on the right path. You were on the right path following Jesus. And there was something attractive about him and compelling about him as they saw him in you. And so Jesus says, so the two follow Jesus. And then Jesus turns around and Jesus says, what do you want? Man, I love that. Jesus sees these two men who left John and they started to follow him. And Jesus turns and sees them and he says, what do you want? And I want you to know, and I don't know if you can tell in my voice, it changed me mm-hmm. when I started to think about what do I want from Jesus today? Mm-hmm. Do I want peace, protection, hope, joy, forgiveness, wisdom, gentleness? What do I want? That's what that to follow strategically, just like we're going to aim our children strategically.
Right.
Let's follow strategically. Craig, right. That's what I mean yep. by who are you following?
That's so good.
Nice.
We heard it said here a couple of weeks ago, one of our teaching team members, may have been you, I'm not sure, we were talking about marriage or something, because we always say, well, I'm a parent first, or I'm a husband first. And one of our teaching team members really challenged us and said, no, you're a daughter first, or you're a son.
Oh, yeah.
First. Before
I don't think that was me. That was really good, though. I would like to take that.
Before you're a parent. And I think that's what we get those a little bit out of order to understand that, no, we're a daughter or a son of the mm-hmm. King first. We follow him. And because we follow him, then we can, in confidence, lead our homes and lead our families yeah, well.
I mean, it takes effort, right? Everything you're talking about. And lately for me, I come back to the same things over and over again because I sit with different people with the same problems all the time. But Galatians 5 is all I seem to talk about anymore. It's actually what I'm preparing for in one of the messages coming up soon about the battle between the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit that go on inside of us. And I realized not that long ago that the fruit of the flesh is kind of like hardwired into me. Mm. My flesh doesn't get saved. That's who I'm going to be unless I ask God's Holy Spirit to come and override all that. Yeah. And so it's a daily thing to have to get cleaned out of that flesh. I don't what Kathy's saying. I don't want to be that.
Right.
It's not who I want to be. This is who I want to be. And right. God, will you do that on a daily basis? Because otherwise it's just like, it's programmed inside of me to be that. Right. So we have to go after being something else.
Right. All right. So kind of the last topic I want to tackle, because I asked Joe this earlier as we kind of just talked through some things in his office. And I said this last question was, then where are we aiming? Then what is the aim of these arrows that we carry? Or that we're aiming. Kathy, you talked about, and you talk about this idea of us creating a complete God-centeredness in our children. And so I want you to kind of unpack that because, you know, in our culture, it tells us to, you know, the goal is to just create human beings that are just add to society or give something back to society. And that's part of it, right? I think we should be raising children that bring something to the table, that bring beauty, right? We're actively with God. We're part of his restoration agents, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're raising. But in order to truly help restore, there has to be a God-centeredness in it all. And so, Kathy, I want you to kind of unpack that because there are parents that are going, well, then give me something like what, where am I aiming these things at, right? Is it the right college? Is it making sure that they're set up for their future financially? What am I aiming towards?
No. yeah, you know, back to what we said, I think the second podcast maybe, you know your children, and certainly if you have a child who's artistic and has been coloring, you know, since he was 3 years old and enjoys art and wants to go to Hobby Lobby with you, et cetera, yeah, you know, go to the art museum with him and color with him at the dining room table on Tuesday nights. And so part of the aim is, do you know them? And do they feel known by you and valued for who they are? So part of it is the wholeness that they bring to your family. Are they athletic? Are they musical? Are they word smart? Are they into math and science? Like I told you the example of my brother, who's a world-renowned chemist because he played with the chemistry set when he was 10. So part of that, I think, Craig, is part of that aim is if they're not artistic, don't force them to take advanced art. That's just not going to endear them to you. You're going to break trust. You're going to break relationship. However, all that is said to now say what's much more important. And that is that you aim them toward a lasting love for Jesus Christ, a faith that becomes their own, not mom's faith, not the Sunday school teacher's faith, not the church camp faith, but my faith. And what we've discovered in some research that's been done, and if people want details, I could put in the show notes, Craig, I could put a couple of references in case some parents want to look into this. But here's what I want you to know. We need to help our kids be God-centered and not full of knowledge. I want them to be full of God, not full of knowledge about God. And I also don't want them to be self-centered. And I think that's a challenge today. You guys are raising kids. Our culture is self-centered. Our culture is selfish. On the first night, we talked about those technology lies. It makes it really easy for children to be, it's all about me. Have you noticed me? I'm amazing. How many pictures of me showed up on the website at camp? Oh, we've got to be so careful of that. Yeah. Here's what God-centered is. You know, there's disciplines, right? Now, Christian disciplines like prayer. What are they? Let's see. Prayer, worship, tithing, fasting, giving, serving. I did giving and tithing twice.
you trying to say something?
Yeah, knowing the word of God, you know, maybe memorizing the word of God. So there's these disciplines. In my church here in Fort Worth, my pastor calls those relational activities. He doesn't like calling them disciplines because it's like we have to be disciplined to do them.
Yeah.
No, you should read the word of God because it's a love letter and a life letter from your creator to you.
That's right.
And so rather than maybe the first point I'll make, or maybe I've already made a couple of points, I don't know, but we can only hope. But rather than thinking of these as disciplines, oh, I have to read the Bible again. Well, Dad, I prayed last night. You mean I have to pray again? You know, how do we move kids beyond that I have to do it mentality? Well, maybe the first thing is to stop thinking of them or talking about them as disciplines. In our church, we have a relationship with God. So these are relational activities. Mm-hmm. We have a relationship with Jesus. So therefore we call these relationship activities. They're all designed to strengthen the relationship. And so how do you move kids? Here's the sequence. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm going to give you 6 phrases. Craig, I want to move kids from I have to, all right? I have to go to church. They're going to make me go again. I've already been, you know. Now, I know it's Stonegate. There's very little of that because your church is remarkable. But I have to. And then I get
everybody's
to,
perfect here, Kathy. Yeah. I'm sure.
Okay. I love that. But, you know, to I have to versus I get to. It's kind of like, oh, I have to clean my house. Well, guess what? I get to clean. I have a house.
Yeah.
Or the mom whose attitude is, I have to do the laundry again. Now, I get that. It always, clothes always get dirty, darn it. But, you know, I get to do the laundry. It means that I have a family. And we have enough money to have clothes on the back. So, but biblically, again, from a church, a Christian relationship thing, man, I have to, I get to, and then I want to.
Yeah.
So what would it take for you and your family? You know, you're an individual mom and dad. You got individual, unique kids. Maybe you have a child right now whose attitude toward memorizing scripture or praying or going to church is, man, I have to go. What would it take in your home? What would you have to say, do, model, pray, to move them from I have to I get to, where they see it as a privilege. And then from I get to, I want to. I want to go to church. Like they're up first in the morning.
Right.
I want to read the Bible. Daddy, will you pray with me? I mean, I can't even imagine the joy that would overtake you if you had a child who came to you and said, Dad, could we pray together?
Yeah.
Right? Like, well, you're not the one who always says, oh, we better pray. But the kid wants to pray. So how do you move them from I have to, I get to, I want to? But let's not stop there, because how many of you want to do a lot? Like, I want to lose weight. And you talk all about it. You know, I really want to lose weight. Well, talking about it and wishing it so won't make it so. So how do you move beyond, you know, I want to go to church. I want to be joyful. I want to read the Bible. The next one is I will. So what does it take? And this is beyond the scope of tonight. I'm trying to give you a passion. I want to encourage you that this is possible.
Yeah.
To move us and our kids from I have to, I get to, I want to, and I will. But again, you know, I will get up in time. Yeah. Is very different from getting up on time.
Yeah.
Right? And I will pray with greater hope. Is very different from really praying with hope. So after I will, it's I did. I did pray with hope. I did go to church with the right attitude. I did read the Bible on my own, and my mom doesn't even know I did it. I didn't do it to check it off a list. I did it because I love God.
Yeah.
I mean, that I would love for the fourth graders and fifth graders to, I know what happens at your camp, Craig. Joy happens at your camp. I've been there.
Yep.
Joy happens there.
Yep.
How does that come home? That's Jesus. Right. That's not in the swimming pool. There's no magic water there. It's not in the counselor. It's in them if we help them. So here's the last one. We're going to go from I have to, I get to, I want to, I will, I did. And here's the kicker. I am. Mm. So here's what we believe at Celebrate Kids. We do what we do to become who we are. So I read, I go to church, I pray, I tithe, I serve, I fast. I do what I do to become who I am.
Yeah.
So now somebody says, who are you? I'm a prayer warrior.
Yeah.
I'm a joyful church attender. I am someone who reads the Word of God looking for the promises of Jesus, knowing that they're there. Yeah. That's what I want. And you know what? It's going to happen if the moms and the dads have it for themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I say that, you know, you guys, this isn't another task. You're overwhelmed and you're already busy. This, you don't have to think about this as another task. And it doesn't have to take a long time. I've seen people go from I have to I am quickly.
Yeah.
Because there's conviction when they go, oh, I've only approached it as a task. Are you telling me this is supposed to be relational? We could figure that out even tonight while we're listening to the podcast. Pray, ask the Spirit to help us and move into that relationship, because that's what we want for our kids. You aim them toward Christ-likeness. You aim them toward a heart for God. You aim them toward that. And I'll tell you quickly that consistent joy and consistent gratitude lend themselves to this atmosphere within your home. This is a research finding that if you have consistent joy, not circumstantial happiness, but consistent joy and consistent gratitude, not circumstantial thankfulness, but true gratitude that's lived out in your home, gratitude and joy tend to be, if you can picture it, the foundation of moving from I did to I am.
Right.
So that, and that's something practical, except as we said in the first night, Craig, we're entitled and we're happy. We gotta grieve all that and give all that up.
Yeah. I love those six things, Kathy, and I don't know if the listener has tied this together, but those six things are exactly Joe and Cindy's story. And so what I'm saying in that is that the parents listening, where Joe and Cindy were 15 years ago, 20 years ago, is the, oh, do I have to stage, right? Even just in the natural order of how we raise families, it's in those, I'll use the word disciplines. It's in those disciplines that they, as they held each other on the dance floor, they got to see that they are. Uh-huh. Do you see it? Did you hear that?
I love it. Absolutely.
What did we do to deserve this? As they looked at their children, and they were. They are now because of a consistency in parenting that was couldn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. You know, these parents are there. They're exhausted. They're tired. Am what I'm doing paying off at all? Because I have an ungrateful child, you know, and just everything just seems like it makes no sense, you know, to fast forward 15 years.
And one of the things I've learned most recently is that you don't get to see the fruit till years down the road. You just don't. Yeah.
You just don't. You do all the work, but you trust God for the fruit down the road. And that's where we are right now. The fruit is everywhere right now, and it's beautiful. But we didn't see it for a while. Like, is this thing ever going to grow? Right?
That's good. That's good. Well, I want to leave the parents with just another encouraging word from Joe and Cindy. Kathy, I want you to send our parents off with great hope, and I think that's going to be it. So, Joe and Cindy, what would you tell our parents?
I wrote a couple things down when I was I was talking to you. One, and it'll only take me a minute or three. The thing that I remembered that I lost when you were talking about the Ehlers,
yep.
Was that there was a point in time, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, where I sat down and wrote a letter to all my kids, mm-hmm. and Cindy included, mm-hmm. and did exactly that. Say, I haven't always done things right, and really just apologized and explained and asked for forgiveness. And it was a beautiful thing. And so for those kids that may be a little bit older, like you said, that just breaks down walls, because there's nothing that's sweeter, I think, from a child to hear is a parent saying they were sorry, mm-hmm. and for things that they know were wrong. And so did you want to – am I talking about the arrow? I had a thought about that, or are
sure.
we done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just – as I wrote that down, I thought – and it just kind of came to me, the whole thing, we get to build the arrow, so to speak. But I think our kids should be the ones that, yes, okay, I'm not going to give it a I'm not going to make it as a just something we should know. We're aiming that arrow towards Christ and that relationship. But who they're going to be in what they do, their vocations or whatever, I think we let them aim the arrow at that point. Like, we build the arrow, we put it in the bow. And just like I was telling that story at the wedding of when Chris and I used to go ride motorcycles together, she was a little kid, and on the back, when we stopped, she would say, go right or go left or go straight. And that's how we would go have fun with each other. And so when they get to that point of actually releasing that arrow, it has to be at a target that they want it to go at, not a target that we want them to go at, right? It's, we have done all we can to build them up and a relationship with God and help them be good people and moral and all that kind of stuff and walk with Him. Now, what they do with their lives, that has to come from them. At least that's in my mind, my heart.
That's good.
Because we have a geologist and a communications director and an eyelash technician and someone who works in childcare out of our four, and they're all over the place, right?
Yep, yep. Cindy, what would you tell those young moms out there listening? Well, how would you encourage them?
Yeah, I would really just say, don't give up. It's just a season. You'll get through it, and just like what Kathy was saying, just little by little, look for ways to love them and give them grace. One of the things when Kathy was just sharing a little bit, I just was thinking about, obviously we're way past this, our youngest is 23, but just the seasons of these families and the busyness in what they're all involved in, just that's so consuming. And so almost maybe even take a step back and see if there's some things that as family, as we can step out of and
Amen.
Give us time to, one of the things, and I'll just, like you had said, Joe and I do marriage retreats also, but there's one of the videos, there's a saying in it that somebody says that I've seen this video a number of times, but make room for life, meaning even we have to in ministry sometimes say time out, because oftentimes we're just so busy and consumed with
just running
good things that I feel like sometimes I miss the opportunity that the Holy Spirit might have me do something else, but I'm already too consumed doing other things. So anyways, just be encouraged, moms. Don't give up. You'll get to the fruit of it.
Kathy, the kids are getting on the bus tomorrow. They're coming home to see mom and dad, and grandma and grandpa, what are you tonight, as before they go to bed, what are you telling the parents? How are you encouraging them?
I'll say two things maybe. Be fully present to your children. Listen to their stories. Laugh with them. Cry with them. Don't interrogate them. wait for it to develop. Maybe do things like, and let them tell you more rather than you asking a direct question, which forces them to talk about the pool or the music when they didn't really want to talk about that. Be fully present and expect to be for more than just one night. Hopefully there'll be an enthusiastic response to the last more than just the one night, but be fully present. Let them know that, you know, you're glad that they're back. And I want to close with a scripture. This also rocked my world, Craig, years ago, Joshua 23:11. In Joshua 23, it's all kinds of rules and regulations and things to do. So the scripture is, you know, do this and don't do that and pay attention to this and, you know, be strong and do all the things that are written in the book of the law. So it's very, I'm like, that's cool. I can check that off. I can do that. I'm really liking the list here and I'm all about obedience. So I'm feeling really good. And then the 11th verse is, be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. Yep. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. Mm. And I was like, wait a minute. That's harder because I can't just check that off. And am I loving him? But what he's saying, and I think he says it throughout the Holy Book, is it is about the love that we have for God that ought to be what compels us to the right path, to forming the best arrow, et cetera, et cetera. So my passion for the moms and the dads, and a way that I'll pray for all of you, is that you would love the Lord your God.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
That's good. Kathy, thank you so much for the part you've played in these podcasts. Just been super insightful and spirit-led. And so thank you for being a part of these.
You're welcome, Craig. It's been a joy and a privilege, and I really mean that.
Yeah. Joe and Cindy, thanks so much for being with us tonight. And just the wisdom that you guys brought, the encouragement you brought. And so thank you guys for being a part of this. Parents, I want to end with thanking you. Because year after year, I get to lead your children at Kids Camp. And I see an unbelievable picture in Scripture as Christ gets onto religious leaders and his disciples when they didn't allow the children to come to him. He uses kids as an example to say, if you don't become like one of them, then you have no place here in heaven. And year after year, this tired soul gets to go to Kids Camp. And it leads these kids to sing praise and to sing worship. And they do it with, I'll say, reckless abandon. And it encouraged me once again to come back filled with the Holy Spirit. And so watch your children play. And may you be reminded of what it's like to be a child. Because Christ looks at you and says, I need you to be like it. I need you to be like him. I need you to be like her. Come to me just like that, with reckless abandon. And so, parents, thank you for sharing your children with us this week. We pray that they're encouraged and are encouraged to walk with Jesus. Thanks again, and we love you guys.